his heart. For him I cry. The singing of my heart.
Thank you. Thank you. was very beautiful. John, thank you.
Thank you.
Annie, you once told me in a conversation that one of the reasons you admire John Coltrane so much was that he brought to music a much-needed link with spirituality. And I think that in this music you've played for us tonight, and as well as your other music, especially this kind of music, I think you're attempting to bring more spirituality to music.
Well, music and spirituality, you know, it's like completely inseparable, you know? And, I mean, and that's what people really, I mean, that's what I always listen for, you know? You know, whenever I listen to music, if it doesn't have, you see, what spirituality does to music is make it immortal, timeless, and eternal. You know what I mean? Because it's the very depth of man's being that it comes from. You know, the very meaning of his life. And to me, that's what, every time I listen to music, I didn't know before, but now I know what I was looking for, you know. I was looking for that something that's just so deep that you always get lost in it, you know. That's what I'm trying to, you know, I mean, really. No, I'm not trying to do it anymore, because it's just, that's my life, you know. My whole life has like become, you know, since I've made the step onto the spiritual path, you know, my whole, everything that I do is directly related to that, you know. So, I still consider myself a beginner, I do.
Where did the inspiration for this music come from, and the words, where did they come from?
Came from our guru, who is Sri Chinmoy. And, see, his, in fact, we brought some a book of his poetry up, you know. His poetry is just, can I read some of it?
Sure.
Why don't we read some of it?
Well, what I'd like to do is read the meditation for today.
We brought a book for you.
Thank you.
It's a meditation, one for every day. And I'd like to read out August 27th. For the benefit of everyone out there.
It's our guru's birthday today,
right,
too.
It's
very significant
day. It's really amazing that we should do this today, you know. It goes like this. August the 27th, meditation from Meditations, Food for the Soul by Sri Chinmoy. O Supreme, I am tired. I need rest. My child, there is no such thing as rest. There is only one truth, and that truth is called fulfillment in self-offering. Which really sums it up, you know. I mean, as far as work and what we have to do, you know. And, like the music that we do, you know, it's just our offering, really. It's just our offering, you know.
When did you meet Sri Chinmoy, and how did you know you wanted him to be your guru?
I didn't know. I mean, I didn't know consciously, you know, my soul knew. But I didn't know. My mind didn't know. You know, it was really, it just happened, you know. And the way we became disciples seemed completely, had nothing to do with our little world, you know.
We've been looking for a master for a while.
Yeah, we'd been aware. You see, we were doing hatha yoga and doing, you know, trying to impose some discipline, you know. See, you know, that's the thing about America, you know. That's what I'm really grateful to America for, because there's so much bad here, you know. It's so extreme, is that you have to get your life in order. You know what I mean? In England, people just fumble and bumble along, you know, nothing really matters, you know. Nothing's too bad, nothing's too good, you know. So people are like that, the kind of personality is like that, you know. And that's a real generalization. But you know what I mean? It's actually true, you know. It's actually true. But here, you see, there's so much going on, you know. Rubbish, nausea, horrible, you know. So you say, well, there's only one thing to do, and that's no, for this, you know. And so it's just automatic common sense arises, and you think, I've got to really, you know, for us anyway, you know, we realize that there's only one thing to do, and that's be like totally fit, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, you know. And that way, you see, we didn't realize at the time, but we thought that way, that we could perform what we had to do best, which is true, you know. If ever, you know, because I knew that this is an instrument, you know, this is an instrument, because that, you know, I become the instrument, and the instrument becomes me. This is an instrument. The body is an instrument, you know. And in a way, we prepared ourselves, you see, for unintentionally for his coming, because we saw him, and the following week he said, "I'm making you disciples," and it was as simple as that, you know, just like that. We had nothing to do with it. You know? It was just, he said, you know, "Do you want to come?" You know, and what can you say? You know, it's only one thing you can say, and that's yes. So that was it. And now, of course, see, we realize that we're just instruments. Everyone, every human being on the planet is an instrument, you know, with a divine mission. You know, every soul's got a divine mission. And it's all we have to do to fulfill ourselves. Not only to fulfill ourselves, but to fulfill God. Is find out what that mission is and do it. And there's no greater thing we can do. And that's why we're where we are. Because this is important to us, is to fulfill ourselves and to fulfill God. You know, fulfillment in self-offering. That's meditation. Everything that you do is an offering. You know, even mistakes, you know. There's no such thing as mistake in the spiritual life. You know, it's an experience that you
opportunity.
Offer.
Opportunity.
Right. Opportunity. Really. So, and of course, what happens? See, we're really relative newcomers too, you know. We've only been on the spiritual path for months, on Sri Chinmoy's spiritual path. But, and that, you see, not only does, you see, what he does is lead you to yourself. And the closer you get to yourself, the closer you get to other people. Because we're all one in reality, in a reality that we don't see. Only one or two souls on this planet see true reality that we exist in. But this is our natural heritage. This is our natural origin. You know, that it is our purpose to get back there, find out our divine origin and our divine destiny too. Because they're one thing, and we're all one in that oneness, you know, and it's just the veils of ignorance that cover it up. And but that's the miracle of life, you know, because it's like you and I, you know, necessary conditions of separateness, but the you and I are also necessary conditions of love. You understand what I mean? And that's the incredible miracle that life is, you know. It's like this apparent paradox, but it's not really, you know. So,
what other music that have you heard that you feel has the most spirituality?
Oh,
Indian music, you mentioned once.
Yeah, Indian music. Yeah, because you see, Indian music is the whole thing about education and life. You see, in the West, music is you're left to find out your own way to you know, your relationship with God. You know. To get back to your original question, there are quite a few spiritual musicians in the West, you know, there have been, you know. There are people who are unconsciously spiritual, you know, musicians, because music puts you in touch with the spiritual world just automatically, you know. Miles is really... You know, he's spiritual in his way. He's not consciously spiritual, but he's unconsciously spiritual. He's, you know...
Very intuitive.
Right, you know, right. He's so soulful, you know. And Tony, you know, Tony Williams. You know, the way he plays those drums.
Larry?
Yeah, well, Larry's consciously on a path, you know.
Right.
Larry Young. You talk to him?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you should, you know. He's incredible. He's the most incredible person. He's a Muslim, but like... You know, he's just aware of the truth, you know, which is beyond all religion, beyond all creed, you know. And like Albert Ayler, you know, who you never hear, you know, his sound is just spiritual, you know. You know that record, Spiritual Unity?
Yes.
Yes.
You know, I mean, what a record. Fantastic. Sammy Murray, you know. And Gary Peacock, of course. And I had a chance to speak to Gary before I left for Japan. He's really an amazing person. You know, we were sitting out, Dave Holland was there, and Randy Becker was there. And you know how deep he's into macrobiotics. You know, and he just sat and read our gastronomic state by looking at our faces. You know, he said, you could do without that, and you could get by on rice, and yes, I can see something in your liver, and just by looking here, this is your liver, and this is your heart, and this is, you know, he's really into that. But it's getting slightly sidestepped. Why don't you say something? Or why don't you ask us another question?
You mentioned before that you needed discipline, and you
yes.
once previously told me that after playing with Günter Hampel's group in Europe for 9 months, I think,
yeah.
You left because you felt that the band had no discipline.
Well, yeah, I do.
But what part does discipline have as far as direction?
Pardon?
What part does discipline have as far as direction in achieving spirituality?
Well, that was musical discipline. This is another kind of discipline.
Well, it's interrelated, isn't it?
Yeah, all discipline is discipline. Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's just that I feel I need to achieve mastery, which is my goal. Mastery is nothing, anything less than that is not enough. Just, I know, it just demands, like, work, you know. You know, work is another word for discipline, actually. You know, the kind of attitude you do when you're doing work. You know what I mean? Because, like in the meditation it says, there's no such thing as rest, there's only fulfillment in self-offering. You know what I mean? Now that to me is like, whatever you do, it depends in the state of mind that you do it, in the state of heart that you do it, you know, how well it works for you. You know what I mean? And so you can apply self-discipline all the time by not indulging yourself. You know what I mean?
In what way?
Well, you know, like, just being aware of what you must do, you know, being aware, I mean, I can only speak for myself, of course.
Well, what must you do?
You know, well, just by aspiring more, by being a better person, by being, you know, just, you know, being able to be completely. You know what I mean? It's very difficult to explain in words.
Well, discipline can only come when you get nearer to your real self. It can only come that way. You can't impose discipline
on
yourself.
That's right. You know,
it just comes
because
naturally.
It comes of its own accord, you know? It's not like I say, it's like
the
work,
things
you know?
That you need, you do, and the things you don't need, you stop doing.
That's right.
It just
that's
happens.
Right. That's what I mean by being more aware. Right, being aware of what you do and how well you're conditioned by habit, you know, the things that you do just out of habit alone, you know, and we're not even aware of.
But there are many things which we know that we shouldn't be doing now, but we still do because we haven't reached the stage where we really can do without
them. There you are.
You know.
That's what I mean by discipline. And of course work, but I mean the work's a joy, you know. Work's a joy. That's the real joy.
You mean making music as well?
Yeah.
Eve, I'd like to ask you, since you're a different person than John, on the outward face of things, you must have come to the path you're now on, you know, from a different way. And could you describe that, how you got onto the path you're on now, in terms of your own life?
Oh, I came onto it in a different way. Well, I really was introduced to yoga when I very first met John. and that was when we were in London. And then he came to America by himself because I hadn't got all the papers together, and then I came. And when we established a home of our own in Manhattan, then the spiritual path just, I mean, the spirituality just grew out of us by just being together, you know? It wasn't anything that we were led to particularly. It wasn't anything that
was really introduced. Yeah, right. You know what it is? It's just common sense. You know what I mean? It's like we were eating meat and smoking cigarettes. Donald said, what are we doing smoking cigarettes and eating meat? You know, poisoning ourselves and giving ourselves lung cancer. You know? And once you make that one step, then you see that opens the door, you know? And you see down, all the way down, you know, you can go as far as you like, you know? Just because by doing that, you open doors to yourself, you know? It was just really common sense, you know? Like, you know, if you love someone and you want to communicate to them, you know, the closer you are to yourself, you know, and the nearer you are to yourself, the nearer you are together, you know, the more, you know, and to become one, which is what you really are, you know. I mean, we're one, you know, and only in our when ignorance reigns do we see ourselves separate, you know what I mean? I mean, and mentally too, you know, so, and we're both aware of this, and both aware of the need to, you see, words are, in a way, kind of the lowest form of communication, you know. So you want to communicate on deeper and higher planes, or more and more, you know, because love grows all the time. And you want to express more, because, you know, it's the same with playing. You know, you can never say enough, because there's always much, much more to say, you know what I mean? I mean, the times when I play and I fulfill myself completely are so rare. I mean, they happen more frequently now, fortunately, but they're still rare, you know what I mean? And that's because I've still got such a long way to go.
A friend of mine who's a musician said to me recently that the conditions for you playing and the fact that you play really well happens maybe 3 times in your lifetime. Which I think it's probably closer than, you know, expecting to play well every night, really well.
Well, if you were as close as to your soul as you could be, you'd play well every single second.
Every note, well, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's it.
I believe he was speaking from his own experience.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, I heard a story, like Dizzy Gillespie said, should I tell you how many times I've played really well in my life? And you know, someone said, tell me. He said,
no, twice.
Yeah. You know? I mean, which is, you know, he's an honest man. Really deeply honest man.
And you Tony, know? Too, when he started singing for a long, like, just one night, he said, it's the only time he'd ever been pleased with what he'd done.
Yeah, right.
What do you think of music that comes from rage?
From rage?
Yes.
It doesn't really come from rage.
What do you think of rage? Right.
Well, no. Rage is something you have to, you know, you deal with that.
It doesn't really come from rage.
No,
it comes
it
from sadness.
It comes, yeah. You can play from frustration.
You think that's spiritual?
Well
it's honest, in a way.
Right, in a way, all music's spiritual, you know, in a way.
Except the music that comes from the mind, which is kind of appearing these days. I mean, there's a music that is intellectual, which is born of the mind, you know. But the other music, the music that comes from emotion, you see, there are various levels of emotion. There's really high emotion, which comes directly from the soul. But there's lower emotion, which is described to us as coming from the vital, coming from the animal in us. Now, if it's an animal kind of rage, like any animal you see has, then it's not really spiritual, because any animal makes his own music by roaring at you, you know. but there's
right,
another
dog
kind
barking at you, you know.
There's another kind of rage, not exactly rage, but a kind of divine anger. You know, like Christ was really angry at one time. He threw everybody out of the marketplace, and he had justification. Well, that kind of anger is okay, you know.
Yeah, it's rough.
What kind of music of like other cultures, like folk music of the West, do you think find spiritual, such as, I think you mentioned flamenco music?
Yeah, this flamenco music is the, you know, flamenco music from Nubia, you know, and around the Near East, you know, the Moors, you know, I mean, a lot of music came from the Moors, Spanish music came from the Moors, you know, and you hear the relationship between Spanish music, African music, and Indian music, you know. You can hear the link, you know. And like this music of there's a record which we just gave away to Larry called Music from Nubia by Hamzat El-Deem. You ever heard of him?
Yes.
Right, you know, well, that's really spiritual, you know. I mean, he's making the call to worship, you know, and he's singing and playing, you know. And he's just, it's his offering to the Supreme, you know. And, that's, you see, this, the difference, there's only, the difference is whether it's unconscious or conscious, you know. I mean, but the culture of a country is like Spain is completely soulful, you know. It might not be consciously spiritual, but it's most definitely soulful, you know, without any shadow of doubt. But folk music. Well, folk music, like as we know it, is not really. It's good, you know. It's good. Like, it can be have a good moral thing in it, you know. It can be have a moral principle contained in the song, you know, which is inherently good. You know what I mean? And it might uplift some people. But to me, what I want to do is to be able to is to be able to transmit. You see, it's not me who makes the music. I just want to be sufficiently pure that the music comes down from such a height and with its own strength and power and purity that it just lifts people, you know, deeply within and move them, you know. And if it changes them for the better, fine, you know. That's what I want to do. That's my, you know, there's nothing more that I want. Just to be just an instrument, but a real instrument, you know what I mean? A real instrument. That's, and that can only be achieved with conscious work, conscious dedication, conscious offering, conscious aspiration, you know?
Recently you played a concert of the songs we heard tonight, some of the songs. With Larry Coryell and other disciples of Sri Chinmoy. Are you going to continue to perform this kind of music in the future? Acoustic?
I'm sure we'll have another. Acoustic, yeah.
You like playing acoustic guitar?
I do. I mean, especially with Eve, you know. It's, and now she's learning 12 string, you know, on the two guitars. I really love the sound. Yeah, so when we come back from Europe, I'm sure we'll do another one.
You're going to Europe?
Yeah.
With who?
With Lifetime.
Lifetime.
Yeah.
Where are they going?
Everywhere.
Playing various festivals or
what?
You're playing various concerts.
No, you know, we're just going on our own tour, you know. Which is really nice. You know.
We're going to be setting up a lecture tour for Guru.
Right at the same time.
He's
never been to Europe, and so we're setting up a tour for him.
Simultaneously.
How is the Lifetime doing?
Oh, there's no other band in the world, is there? you know. There's no other band in the world, really, for me. You know, I mean, if Miles can ask me to join twice and I say no each time, you know, that means because there's nobody else in the world I want to play with, you know. The band is completely fulfilling, you know. Completely fulfilling.
And growing.
Oh, all the time. Well, you, I mean, how many nights did you come down to Ungar's? The last time?
The last time, no.
Well, were you there? Yeah. You missed out, both of you. Well, this, every night was really something, you know. Every night, it's really something else. And it's just, it is, it's just growing all the time. Growing all the time. But that's the only way things can go, you know. You can't stand still, you either go backwards or forwards, you know. You either stagnate or grow, expand. And we really are. It's good.
How about the musicians on your record? Larry Young, you played with in the Lifetime, mm-hmm. Buddy Miles.
Yeah.
And are you going to play with them in the future?
Well, we were going to do something together this time, you know, go in the studio. You know, I'm working on another album.
With who?
With Pharrell and Douglas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Buddy was going to come and do some, you know, we were going to try some more. But he's got a hit album, so, you know, he's famous and he's working and he's busy, he can't make it. So I went in the studio and did some tracks with
Isaac
Hayes' rhythm section, you know. And they really got down home and funky. But they weren't happy, you know. They weren't very happy. They didn't think they were giving me what I wanted.
Who else are you recording with or playing with? Well, you've been on Wayne Shorter's record.
Oh, Wayne's, yeah. But recently.
Are you telling me about the new Miles album with Sonny Chirac?
Yeah, we've got a lot of music on the shelf, you know. And we've got two dates worth of with Sonny on, Sonny Chirac.
Why don't you do a record with him? That might be interesting.
Well, would be.
You're both going on different paths in the same direction.
I know. I want to hear his new record that he did with his wife, you know. Sonny is really amazing. He's so intense, you know. So intense. Really incredible. Completely, you know, revolutionary style he's got too. You know, revolutionary.
Well, I guess you two are probably changing electric guitar playing as much as anyone, you and Sonny. And also maybe Jimi Hendrix a few years ago, although I think he's gotten into a rut lately.
Do
you think so? Well, I think Jimi Hendrix was doing some things a long time ago.
Yeah, I've played really good. We did a session once with Buddy Miles, you know.
And Jimi Hendrix?
And Dave Holland was on bass.
Oh, wow.
And Buddy Miles.
Whatever happened to that?
I really don't know. I'd like to hear that again. That was some night.
But Jimmy's filled up rooms.
Right, he's got his rooms full of tapes, and none of them are labeled. They're all blank cases.
It's going to take somebody years to go through.
Right, someone's to have to listen.
Not
to
only
that,
but he signed three recording contracts on the, you know, at the same time. So it's
well,
three.
We don't know that for sure. That's only speculation.
Oh yeah.
I mean, not that really matters.
And these songs that you've sung, they're going to be recorded possibly by Vanguard, is that...?
Yeah, maybe.
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 So maybe we'll hear that music.
If it's Will of the Supreme, then it'll happen, you know? I mean, and with that attitude, you know, not, you know, whatever happens, you know, is, because it is, that's the truth, you know. It's his will.
Okay, I'd like to thank you for... being my guest tonight, John McLaughlin and Eve.
Thank you so much, Dave, for this opportunity, and Jim.
That's right, Jim Carroll has been in my my engineer here, and I have to mention that John has a record that you should hear called Devotion on Douglas, and he's been on a lot of other records you should hear, with Miles Davis, Wayne Shorter, and above all, as a group with the Tony Williams Lifetime.